Well, Todd, as usual, there are a lot of moving pieces with this forecast, and the most important of those pieces right now to us in the eastern part of the Corn Belt is how cold it's going to be getting tomorrow morning. So what we have right now is a very, very deep trough in the jet stream that's parked right over basically the Great Lakes states up toward Hudson Bay. While the west is going to be seeing well above average temperatures, we're going to be setting some records here across this section of the country. Some of the cold records that we're going to be challenging here go back, in some cases, decades. Some of the records we might break in central Illinois. Maybe the last time we saw a freeze this late in the year was 1966. So I'm getting quite concerned about this. We have freeze warnings that are out for parts of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and then all the way far south as Tennessee and Kentucky. And maybe on Sunday morning, parts of central North Carolina could get in on some of this below 32 degree weather. So this is a pretty rare and unprecedented event, and it's going to be causing some problems in the eastern part of the Corn Belt here. Now, change is coming. After this cold air comes blasting through over the weekend, we will start to see the pattern moderate, flatten out, and actually even completely change its trajectory. You see, right now we have northwest flow, which is why we keep seeing these little clipper systems that come from the north and west and cut through the state of Illinois. So we had one early this morning that hit right in through here, but got south of us. I only had about 0.2 inch of rain in my gauge this morning here in Mahomet. But we have another system I'm going to watch on Sunday. And by the way, that one might put down a little bit of snow in the Dakotas on its way toward us here in Illinois. But the change in that pattern happens after Tuesday and Wednesday, where now all of a sudden the upper level flow is out of the southwest. Now, there's a couple of things about that. With that change, yes, we get the warmer temperatures. In fact, by the time we're talking next Friday, I'll have said, hey, the last couple of days have been in the 70s and the temperatures are really going to be warming up compared to what they are right now. But that is also going to open up the Gulf of Mexico and give favorable upper level flow to maybe increase our week two precipitation chances. So what does this mean? A return back over toward warmer temperatures, yes, but also return over toward more May-like severe weather. And May and June are typically thought of as the, for the midsection and the Midwest of the United States, to be our most active in terms of, you know, potent severe thunderstorms. So we're going to have to watch that up very carefully, because it appears as though windows are going to tighten up for the rest of this crop that we've got to get planted as we move into the, into the third week of the month of May. Now, go west of there. There's something I want everyone to be watching. If the pattern opens up and we get enough moisture transport to get back into the high plains, into the central plains, I'm talking about Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, that's critical. And here's why. Up until this point, we've now seen the drought monitor show an increase of drought into Colorado, into Kansas, into parts of Oklahoma, and then certainly western Texas. Now, we've been talking about this. This is one of our three things to be watching for the potential for hotter, drier summer conditions here in the state of Illinois. If that drought expands any more as we work through the month of May and into June, then we need to start to become more concerned about what that could potentially mean. What does it mean? It may help shove the jet stream farther north and therefore increase our risk of having, well, broader drought and potentially some more heat later on. Now, remember, though, over the next couple weeks, if this pattern adjustment brings more thunderstorms and greater moisture to that area, we could erase some of that worry. And I'm just saying it right now as something to be watching, not necessarily a slam dunk in the forecast. But the good news is as we get past this time period with the pattern shifting, the good news is that this will be the last, I think, we're going to have to talk about these bitterly cold temperatures causing some problems for us, of course, for a while. Okay, when I think about overall what is happening internationally, I'm going to take you first to Europe. The cold snap we're dealing with, turns out much of the Black Sea region is going to be dealing with a cold snap of their own coming in the next 5 to 10 days. And we're going to watch that very, very carefully. In that Black Sea region, there has been some areas, I'm thinking specifically about the southern and eastern part of Ukraine and that area just to the east of there in the Russian wheat belt, that has missed out on some critical rainfall. And therefore, their soil moisture values are low and they're desperately calling for some rain and they need it. And unfortunately, the next 10 to 15 days in the forecast doesn't bring in the kind of rains that could relieve those problems. So we got something to be watching in the Black Sea area. While we're still in the Northern Hemisphere, I want to take you over to parts of Africa, Pakistan, and India. We recently got some more reports about the desert locusts and their swarms starting to move around again in that area. Specifically, I'm concerned about Pakistan, and what that might mean is that those desert locusts maybe get over into parts of India before the monsoonal rains come in. I want to keep an eye on that. It could could become more of a newsworthy story about global ag markets as we press forward. But as we finish up the growing season down in South America, the concerns that we've been realizing now for the past month to 45 days has been primarily confined to southern Brazil, where we have had the drought pressures continue to increase. And as that famous kind of saying goes in times of drought, we say all signs fail in times of drought. What we're talking about there is that each time the model keeps predicting more rains for part of like southern Mato Grosso do Sul or Rio Grande do Sul or Paraná, the rains don't really manifest the way that they normally do, and it's just too dry there. So we continue to see those problems. Now, northern Brazil's growing area, so think Mato Grosso and points to the east there where we have a lot of our safrinha crop that's finishing. Well, in that particular area, the moisture has been better, and we do see, at least in the near term, more normal precipitation. Argentina, some of the early crop, of course, is being harvested right now under dry conditions, but those drier conditions could possibly kind of eat away on the yield potential of some of the later maturing crop. So those are some of the things I'm watching around the world, and it's certainly one of those things where one crop is finishing and another crop is beginning. We don't have, you know, the best picture being painted globally right now, so we got a lot to keep our eye on.